And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. And I'll tell you, there's so much to talk about. But let me just begin by saying, when you hear this, this will be day 41 and go ongoing, depending on when you listen to it. I'm taping it on day 40 of the Project 76 Standathon, which is 76 days from July 4th to September 17th. And we are having a marvelous time talking about the God, about the Constitution, about the American family, about all the issues that I really believe go into making this country great. And of course, all the problems that we are facing that are trying to destroy that greatness, trying to undo that greatness, trying to prevent that greatness in the future. And it's, those efforts are not going to succeed. America is going to remain a shining city on a hill. I'm declaring it in the name of Jesus, because I believe that this providential nation which God gave us will not be taken away by a bunch of pinhead Marxists and socialists and communists who don't know their heads from a hole in the wall, frankly, and can't lead anybody anywhere but into the abyss. And they're not leading us. We're not about to allow that to allow that to happen. Not Mamdani in New York, or this communist out in Minneapolis, or any of these others that purport to know a better way than what our founding fathers gave us, this wonderful constitutional republic based upon individual liberty, free market principles, private property, and Judeo-Christian values and principles of faith in God as the ultimate author and grantor of our liberty and our rights. Folks, there's never been a better place on this earth, and frankly, there never will be. This is it. I'll tell you, my vision is to see America be as close to heaven as we can get. And frankly, we're closer than any place else right now. I'm talking about a place to live. I'm not talking about some vacation spot that somebody comes up with where there's nothing going on except, you know, people just partying and all that, which is not heaven anyway. I'm talking about a place to live, to grow, to raise a family, to build a business, to fulfill your God-given potential and ability. There's just nothing better. And so during Standathon, we are focusing on a number of things, but the essence boils down to prayer for purpose and for prosperity. Prayer for purpose and for prosperity. And I'm asking you to pray for our country. To pray for the president, pray for his cabinet, pray for his family, and to pray for his wisdom to make the right decisions in behalf of our nation, which I believe is his inclination. But pray for the wisdom. In fact, you know, I dare say, pray for an anointing on his life to do that. I've been preaching a series here recently called The Power of the Anointing to Change Your Life. And I really believe that God anoints different people to do different things. It's like he anointed David to be king of Israel. And I really believe God has anointed President Trump to be president of the United States for this time. Let's pray for his anointing and pray that he will follow the wisdom of God in all that he seeks to do and draw closer and closer to God as he does it. And then prayer for our organization, STAND, staying true to America's national destiny. The part of what we're trying to do right now is to raise the resources to continue to fight for this nation, to fight for the deracialization of America, to fight for the restoration of the family in America, to fight for the restoration of Judeo-Christian values and principles in America. So pray for us that we can continue to do that and that we'll have all the spiritual resources and human resources and financial resources to do it. And then pray for American Family Association, American Family Radio, because as I've said before, I really believe this is one of the greatest voices for the preservation of our Judeo-Christian heritage and values in the United States of America. It is a tremendous blessing. Don, Brother Don, was definitely anointed by God to begin this ministry. And we are all beneficiaries of it. We are all recipients of it. The whole country is a beneficiary and a recipient of it, even though we know that there are enemies out there who absolutely hate what we represent. But that's because, as Jesus said, they don't know God. They are of their father, the devil. The deeds of their father they will do. But all we can do is pray for them because, frankly, they're on the losing side. And we're on the victorious side because Jesus Christ has already won the victory for us. So pray for us. And then secondly, I've asked, volunteer. We need your help. People with all kinds of skills and abilities, you're out there. The Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. And I said that volunteerism for Stan was down to two things. You can help us start a chapter in your city, your town, your county, and it really doesn't take much. Now, I'm not trying to undersell it. It certainly does take some investment of energy. It really shouldn't take any investment of money, but certainly takes some investment of energy, but not a lot, because what we're really doing is giving you a platform by which to address the issues that you're ultimately going to confront in your own community. There's no question. This stuff is metastasizing. Everywhere the devil can rear his ugly head, he's doing it. I mean, he appeared in the Garden of Eden. That means he'll appear in your garden too. The garden of your town, the garden of your county, the garden of your city, the garden of your family. So what we're doing is giving you a platform for addressing those issues and our backing as you do them. So that's one way to volunteer. Help us get a chapter started in your area. And the other way, of course, is to just whatever skills and abilities you have, just get in touch with us and say, hey, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to help you with that. Can I help you with your database? Can I help you with your communications? Can I help you with whatever the Lord has laid on your heart? Can I be of support to you? We need ambassadors all over the country. Can I be an ambassador for you? Maybe you can go to your pastor and say, hey, why don't you invite Bishop E.W. Jackson to come and speak? He doesn't charge any money. He'll come and hold forth the gospel, give him an offering, make an offering to his organization to help him. But God has given him a message that I think we all need to hear. So there's all kinds of ways you can volunteer for us. When we go places, we need volunteers to help us sometimes at our table because I don't have the staffing to handle the numbers of people who want to buy books or want to interact and want to get materials and so forth. You can help us with that. So all kinds of ways you can volunteer. And then third, but certainly last, but certainly not least, is you can contribute. You can give. I said you can give $1 a day over the 76 days from July 4th to September 17th. That's only $76 or any amount. It'd be $7.60 because it's not the amount. It's the encouragement that really matters. Now, we are believing God for large donors. We are believing God for people to step up and be able to give $100,000, $250,000, $500,000, $1 million and more. I said, Jeff Bezos gave $100 million to Van Jones, and Van Jones doesn't know enough to be able to come in out of the rain. He doesn't know enough to open up an umbrella when it's raining on him. I mean, but, you know, that this is the leftist, you know, or him rewarding a leftist because he figures that'll keep the natives off his back. I don't know what Jeff Bezos really believes, but I think he clearly believes he wants to make his life as easy as possible, and he wants to keep the natives subdued. So, you know, but I believe God's going to raise up millionaires and billionaires who will do the same thing for Stan, do the same thing for American Family Association. Help us in our mission. We're not in this to get rich. We're not in this to feather our own nests, as we see so many leftists do. I mean, Black Lives Matter raised $100 million and spent it on a bunch of junk, buying mansions that were owned by former communists and entering into contracts with family members for security that they couldn't even provide anyway. at $100,000 a year. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous stuff. $100 million that was given. And Lord knows, you gave $100 million to American Family Association, or $100 million to Stan, or whatever. I'll tell you what, Katie, bar the door, because here we come, and we're going to get some things done for God. And we thank God for the resources we already have. And I'm mentioning Stan and American Family Radio because we're partners. Stan supports American Family Radio and American Family Association, and they support us. Of course, American Family Association is the bigger, more robust organization, been around a lot longer, but it still is a partnership. They support us, and they're a major sponsor of our dinner and the various things that we do. So just anything that you can do, you know, and again, it's not the amount, it's the heart. Because whatever you give is an encouragement. I tell you, I have people give to Stan who are Patriot partners on a monthly basis from $5 to $2,000 a month. That's the range. I mean, all the way from five. And believe me, I appreciate every single one of them, you know, because as I know, we believe in God for 1,000 Patriot partners, 1,000 monthly givers. And I know 1,000 people are not going to be giving $2,000, $1,500 a month. They may be giving $10, $15, $20, $25 a month. But praise God, that matters, folks. It matters. So whatever you do will be much appreciated. Go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and you can volunteer to do any of those things. Go to the contact information, by the way, and just sign up, and there's a place where you can put a note and say, well, I want to be contacted about this, or I want to do this for the organization, or I'd like to know more about setting up chapters, or I'd like to be able to volunteer to do this, that, or the other, whatever it is. Or you can just go to the donate page if you want to donate. But again, we are grateful to you and grateful to God for anything that you can do. Okay, I want to talk primarily today. By the way, I do want to pray for our country and pray for American Family Association and pray for Stan before the program is over. In fact, you know what? So that I don't forget to do that and don't run out of time in doing that, let's do that right now. Okay? Would you pray with me? Would you come in agreement in prayer? The Bible says where two of you agree is touching anything, Jesus said, I will do it. He said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, I will do it. And I'm told that there are thousands of you that listen to this podcast. Even though I'm not on every day now, this podcast garners thousands. And I am so grateful to God for you. In fact, I told you all, in fact, you'll see right there on my new American Family Radio, The Awakening Backdrop, you'll see that award that says Best Podcast. That is an award that was given to me by an organization called Million Podcasts, and it listed The Awakening as one of the top most listened to Christian podcasts in America. One of the top 50 most listened to Christian podcasts in America. And I'm grateful to God for that, and grateful to you because you all are making it happen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for American Family Association. Thank you for American Family Radio. Thank you for this wonderful audience of listeners and viewers. And thank you for staying true to America's national destiny. Thank you, Father God, for what you've done through Brother Don Wildman in creating American Family Association. Thank you for their love for our country and their love for the American people and what they do to serve our audience and what they do to partner and help organizations like mine, like Stan, staying true to America's national destiny. Lord, we're so grateful to you for this wonderful country and grateful to you for the patriots like Brother Don and the Wildman family and the staff and the hosts of American Family Radio. Thank you, Lord God, that you are raising up people to, as George Washington said, to lift up a standard to which good and honest people can repair. And we are so grateful. We love this country, Lord, and we love America because we really believe that America is your gift to us. And we want to serve our country and help our country because we believe we have a stewardship responsibility in that regard. Help us to do that. Help us to preserve America. Help us to be able to present America to you when the time comes, when Jesus returns, or when we return to you, to be able to say, Lord, I've taken what you've given me and I've sought to multiply it. I've sought to preserve it. I've sought to protect it. I've sought to defend it. And Lord God, help us to do just that for our beloved country, to protect this nation as a constitutional republic, as a Judeo-Christian culture. Help us to preserve this nation as a nation whose God is the Lord. Father God, I do pray, especially for Stan, for staying true to America's national destiny, for this Project 76 Standathon that we are in right now. And Father, I just pray that you will raise up prayer warriors, that you will raise up volunteers, and you will raise up donors and contributors who will help us carry out the mission that you've given us. And we thank you and praise you so very much for how far you've brought us, because as the old song says, you brought us from a mighty long way. But we don't believe that you brought us this far just to leave us. So we thank you and praise you for victory over the Marxists and the socialists and the communists and the sexual deviants and all the people who want to pervert and degenerate our culture and turn it into a culture of depravity. We thank you for victory over them. And we pray for those people that they would ultimately get a revelation, ultimately awaken to righteousness and ultimately turn to you with hearts of repentance. To say, Lord, forgive us for having been so wrong and having done so wrong and having sought to lead others so wrongly. And Father God, we thank you and praise you. And we commit ourselves. We commit American Family Association, American Family Radio. We commit Stan into your loving care. Now, the audience members, Lord, that are supporting our work and supporting this effort, we pray for them. Father God, that you would bless them spiritually to draw closer and closer to you, and that we might help in that discipleship process by continually proclaiming the truth. And you said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. And you said, if you abide in my word, you said, then are you my disciples indeed, knowing the truth which makes you free. So we pray for them spiritually. We pray for them physically. Lord, them some who are listening to me right now who may be distress with sickness and disease, but Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Jesus, you are the great physician, the doctor who's never lost a patient. We pray for your healing power and virtue to move all across this audience, Lord, healing those who are sick in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, causing them to rise up from their sick beds in the newness of life. And for those even, Lord God, who may have received terrible prognoses, we declare they shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And Father God, we pray for them financially that they would prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. And Father God, that as David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. We pray that they and their seed would never be found begging bread, but that they would have more than enough, abundance and no lack. You said, Father, if we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. You said you're able to make all grace abound toward us, that we always have all sufficiency in all things and abundance for every good work. We pray that over this listening audience, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for victory in all of these things through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Oh, saints, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Whenever stormy clouds arise, I hasten to his throne. But you tell you the truth, with all due respect to the songwriter, I hasten to his throne, whether the cloudy skies or sunny skies. Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. All right, look, I want to talk about the president's initiative in Washington, D.C. I find it so interesting, folks. The president has taken steps now to turn the tide of crime in Washington, D.C. And all we can hear from the leftists is, oh, Washington, D.C. is great. The crime is dropping. Things are, the president is just, I heard this one leftist say, the president never loses an opportunity to take control of every aspect of American life. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, the president hasn't taken control of my life. I don't know anybody whose life he's taking control of. Dealing with crime is not taking control of our lives. It's really taking control of this criminal element and stopping that criminal element from destroying our lives. But these leftists, as I've said, when you disconnect from God, you disconnect from reality, and they have no clue. And they really don't. They have no clue. So they're saying because the rates are down, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is wonderful. But folks, let me tell you, I only live 3 hours from Washington, D.C. I'm not in back and forth to D.C. as much as I used to be because I don't like the traffic. But I'll tell you another reason. I don't want to drive in Washington, D.C. Because, folks, they're committing carjackings in the middle of the day. And if you're driving a half-decent car, you're liable to have somebody pull up on you at a red light, come up on you and stick a gun in your face and demand that you get out of the car. And in some cases, when that's happened, the person either hesitates or doesn't move quickly enough or whatever and gets shot dead on the spot. Now, they can talk all they want about, oh, crime is down, but the United States Capitol, Washington, D.C., has a worse crime rate than any other capital in the world. You know, folks, that's shameful. To have to say that is shameful. We should be the safest and most peaceful, and frankly, in my view, most beautiful capital in the world. And yet these leftists, these Democrats, are bragging and saying, oh, this President Trump is just using this as an excuse. Well, over half the people of Washington, D.C., based on polls, have said they do not feel they do not feel safe at all. They feel that Washington, D.C. is very dangerous or somewhat and too dangerous. Now, I guarantee you probably the rest of the people feel like, yeah, it certainly could be better. And maybe they have been indoctrinated to believe somehow that federal intervention is the wrong thing and we don't really need that. I guess it's easy to think that way until one of your loved ones is killed or you get shot or stabbed or whatever happens. The President of the United States is taking responsible action to see to it that the capital of the United States is in fact a safe place. Now, I'm very serious and I'm not a fearful person at all. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. But I'm not a fool. And when I say I don't want to drive in Washington, D.C., I mean, I got a pretty nice car. It's not brand new. It's not the most expensive car anybody's ever bought. But I drive a nice car. It's exactly the kind of car carjackers would want to take. I don't even want to put myself or my family or anybody else at risk. So don't get me wrong. I mean, if I have to go to Washington, D.C., I'll go. But I'll tell you what, I don't go there thinking, and here's the other thing. It is one of the most dangerous places in America, but a law-abiding citizen can't take a gun into Washington, D.C. If you or I, law-abiding citizens, no record, we take a gun into Washington, D.C., and we are caught with a weapon in Washington, D.C., you will be arrested and they will put you in jail. And these criminals, kids running around with guns, are basically being coddled. You know, as Judge Jeanine said, you know, giving yoga classes and arts and crafts after having stuck a gun in somebody's face. I mean, this stuff has got to be brought to a halt. And look, I'm going to give you the anecdotal circumstances of some of these crimes, and people say, well, those are just anecdotes. But listen, when you get enough of these, they form a pattern. And it tells you something. So, for example, Eric Tarpinian, 21-year-old congressional intern, killed in a drive-by shooting. Trump administration official Michael Gill, killed in a carjacking. U.S. Representative Henry Cuellar, carjacked at gunpoint. Senator Rand Paul's aide, stabbed in the chest, almost died. And get this one, folks. Secret Service agent, they didn't release his name, carjacked at gunpoint in broad daylight around noon on a Wednesday. Now, you're going to tell me crime is under control in Washington, D.C., and you got carjackers jacking people up in the middle of the day in broad daylight? They took his Chevy Malibu. I told you, you're driving a nice car, a Chevy Malibu. Oh, yeah, man, we want that. They took his car. They found the car. They probably realized, because the car had body armor in it, had an official radio in it, they probably realized they had stolen the vehicle of the law enforcement officer and got rid of it an hour later. They still haven't caught the perpetrators. That means they're running around D.C. free to do it again, and probably have. FBI agent, also a victim of an attempted robbery. 18 years old was the guy who Devontae Lynch, who tried to rob him. 18 years old. And by the way, another armed carjacking and robbery. By the way, Devontae Lynch, 18 years old, he had a gun. Yeah, he had a gun. I wonder how much time he'll get. I mean, I've made it no secret, so I'm not going to play games with you. I mean, I carry. And most of the time you see me, unless I'm someplace where it's illegal to carry, I'm carrying. But I tell you what, when I have to go to Washington, D.C., I don't carry. Because I know what the penalties are, and I'm not a criminal. But if you end up in Washington, D.C. armed and they catch you, you're going to be treated like a criminal. So if one of these idiots, these wicked, evil, conniving, sniveling animals decides they're going to attack you, and their arm, like this 18-year-old Devontae is, you can't defend yourself. Now, maybe this, I believe this FBI agent was carrying. And I think he was in a position to defend himself. But you or I couldn't do that. Now, those are some of the more prominent. Look, a Secret Service agent and an FBI agent. And by the way, these are the most prominent incidents that have made the news. You know this is the tip of the iceberg. Here are a couple that have made the news, but they're not prominent. And this one is just happened last month. Three-year-old girl, beautiful little child. I'm looking at her picture here as I talk to you. Beautiful little child. And guess what they named this beautiful little girl? Honesty. They named her Honesty. Literally, H-O-N-E-S-T-Y, Honesty. Honesty Cheadle, 3 years old. Gunned down in some kind of drive-by shooting. Hit by a stray bullet. She lived for a little bit and ultimately succumbed to the industry, to the injuries. Folks, in fact, she was shot on the early morning hours after
July 4th, so really on July 5th. I wonder what she was out in a car. She was in a car when this happened, but she was out there. Why in the world she was out there? That raises a whole nother issue. But she died on July 7th. 3 days later, poor child succumbed to her injuries. And look, a one-year-old, I think this was a little later. This was, I think, even more recent. A one-year-old was shot, put in critical condition. It looks like the one-year-old is likely to survive. But this one-year-old, again, shot in Southeast D.C. Yeah, this just happened. Actually, this happened, I guess, somewhere around July 22nd. So not even a month ago. This happened after the shooting of Honesty Cheadle. And the Democrats want to lecture us about how safe why is the president taking action? Because somebody's got to. And praise God that the president is doing it. Now, let me go back to something that's extremely important for me to say. And if you want to support our work, by the way, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. I've shared with you all our commitment to law enforcement. We got a website called Stand With Law Enforcement. You can check that out too, standwithlawenforcement.com, or go to standamerica.us. You can give it either one. But folks, what we've got to come to grips with is the left, the Democrat Party, has for a generation undermined the vitality of the American family, and this is particularly acute in Washington, D.C. You know, the birth rate, out of wedlock birth rate in Washington, D.C. is 46%. Which is bad enough. That means almost half the children born in D.C. are born out of wedlock. You know what the out of wedlock birth rate is in the black community? 77%. 77%. You said that in Washington, D.C., as it turns out, because of broken homes and out of wedlock births, about 85% of the children are growing up in single parent, female headed households. I mean, these kids, when we heard about this young man, I don't think I even named him, but this young man, former DOGE staffer, Edward Korestein, about him being assaulted. I didn't even know the details on this one, except that two 15-year-olds were trying to carjack his girlfriend, and he stepped in, pushed her in the car, and confronted the two guys. They jumped on him, and apparently 10 other teenagers, and so I think it was a total of 12, but at least 10, began to beat on him. That's why he ended up with a broken nose and a concussion and was a bloody mess. If you saw the pictures of him, I mean, he was a bloody mess because 10 to 12 people jumped on him. And by the way, completely unremorseful, unrepentant, beating on him and making a big show of it and saying, you know, you think you're going to stop us from taking this car. And these young people have had no one to civilize them. Because that's like you've been raised in the jungle. You're a predator, dog eat dog. And then you listen to all the racial nonsense that comes out of these communities, sometimes sadly even from the churches, the white man this and the white man that. And then you get a young guy who's trying to make something of his life. He happens to be an American of European ancestry. They see him, oh, well, we're justified in killing him or hurting him. And his girlfriend. We saw the incident in Cincinnati where they body slammed this woman and caused broke a woman's nose, concussed her. But this okay because the people attacking were black and the woman was white. So it doesn't matter, right? Forget about the notion of our common humanity. I mean, forget about the irony of people who the left is always talking about. They haven't been treated right. They haven't been treated humanely, and they haven't been, they've been treated like they're less than human. Forget about the irony of them then mistreating a person and treating that person like they're less than human because of the color of their skin. Folks, this is demonic. It is demonic. And so thank God the president is taking action to deal with this. But I want to get back to this issue. We have got, pray for us, because we want to work with everybody, including the president of the United States, on creating a long-term plan for rebuilding the family. Because look, folks, you can't, and by the way, I think you all know, as far as I'm concerned, a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old who sticks a gun in somebody's face to try to take their vehicle should go away for a long, long time. And if he or she shoots that person, they should go away for a longer time. And if he or she kills that person, they should go away for the rest of their life, as far as I'm concerned. So, well, you can't do that because they're young. They could be rehabilitated. Yeah, well, you know what? Let them live out their rehabilitation in prison. And do whatever meaningful thing they can do. They can write books about to young people and say, hey, don't make the mistake I made when I was 12 years old, or 10 years old, or 15, whatever. Don't make the same mistake I made. I'm a grown man now. I realize how stupid and evil and wicked that was. Please don't make the same mistake. I'm spending the rest of my life in prison because I took a human being's life. But that's what's going to happen to you. I mean, enough. Enough. And our prisons are not dungeons. Our prisons are not torture chambers. I mean, a person can particularly if they rehabilitate, they become decent people, they can be in a minimum or a medium or minimum security prison and can live decent lives. They can find something productive to do. They can get an education. All kinds of good things can happen in prison. But I'll tell you what, you take somebody's life, you're not getting out. I mean, folks, that's the message we've got to send. Because look, here's the other thing. Criminals will use juveniles to do this stuff because they know that they're not going to be punished. We got to send a message. Oh, yes, they are. And by the way, we find out that you as an adult manipulated them and advised them and coached them. We're going to lock you up for life, too. As a conspirator. But enough of this stuff. I shared this with you all before, but let me repeat it. Ecclesiastes 8:11. If you've got your Bible, open it up, mark this down. Because see, this is what it means to be a Judeo-Christian nation. We are governed and we are guided by the wisdom of Almighty God. And here's what Ecclesiastes 8:11 says. Listen to this closely, because I've read this many times, but the Lord gave me revelation on this about a month or two ago. And I just thought, oh my good Lord, how is it I've read this and it just glossed over it. It says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, you know what that's saying? That is saying when you fail to execute the sentence on a wrongdoer, you are encouraging them and you are in effect rooting and grounding them to do evil in the future. That's what it says. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Well, now what if it's not executed at all? And that's what we've got going now. Oh, if you steal up to $950 and stuff, we don't care. Did you see the video of the robbery? It took place on June 30th in Washington, D.C. They took away thousands of dollars of stuff and just took their time going around the store taking whatever they wanted. Like, who's going to stop us? They just walked around and grabbed. I mean, it was coordinated robbery. It wasn't one of those what they call, you know, it was a smash and grab, but it was looked like a coordinated group who were in there doing it. Look at four or five people or so. Walked away like, what's the big deal? Because basically they've been told, you know, you're only poor because of injustice and you have a right to go take stuff. Just go get it. We're going to wink at it and nod at it and turn the other way. And don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. This is social justice at work. So, but this says even if it's executed, it needs to be executed speedily. You need to catch these people and put them away. And by the way, that goes for the death penalty too. What good is there of a death penalty? It takes you 30 years to execute somebody. I mean, when we have a rock solid, unassailable death penalty case that calls for execution, that person needs to be executed quick. Now, I know quick with due process and appeals and all that, we need to put a stop to all that and say, yeah, you know, certainly a person can challenge the legality of their trial. They can challenge the outcome and all of that. We have a right to do that in our country. You have a right to appeal always, part of due process. But you can't do that incessantly. You can't do that in perpetuity. You can't do that for 30 years. Because if you are guilty of committing a capital offense, you're going to get executed. And it needs to be done within a very, very reasonable time. I would say 2 years. And we need to expedite those appeals, expedite them, put them at the top of the list. You got people sitting on death row, been sitting on death row for 20, 25 years. What is that? This scripture tells you that all you do when you do that is set people's hearts to do evil. Because the people out there who are lined up to commit the next capital crime, they know they're not going to get executed, even if they give me the death penalty. It's not going to be carried out. And they say death row is one of the nicest places to be. I mean, obviously not. It's not freedom, but yeah, death penalty. People on death row apparently get a lot of special treatment. Don't ask me why, but so yeah, we've got to stop this mess. And President Trump, now they've only got control of D.C. for 30 days, but you know they arrested 23 people on the evening after the president made his announcement. And apparently the head of DEA, who he has appointed to run the Metropolitan Police Department, was in his office that day. And said they've given him an office in the Metropolitan Police Department that day. This president doesn't play. he's not playing around. That night, 23 people got arrested under the new regime. Violent felons, people who had committed crimes that they were looking for, people convicted of crimes, illegal aliens. I mean, they were going at it. And praise God for it. Because as good stewards of this wonderful country we have, we must be more concerned about protecting law-abiding people than we are about coddling criminals. In fact, we don't need to be concerned about coddling criminals at all. We need to be concerned about catching them and locking them up and trying them, and ultimately, of course, if the evidence is there, finding them guilty, and then carrying out the sentence. Now, let me end with this one, because I'm sure you heard about that. I'm almost out of time, but I've got to get to this one, because see, this is the exact opposite of what I just described to you from Ecclesiastes 8:11. this guy in Kentucky, who had committed various felony crimes, very serious criminal, who is sentenced to 14 years for his last set of crimes, armed robbery and so forth. Judge Jessica E. Green lets him out after about 4 months. They're saying five, but actually he was given house incarceration for some time before he was actually, quote unquote, put on probation. You believe that? Yeah. 14-year sentence. In about 4 months, he's home. And they're calling it shock probation. And I'll tell you, forgive me, folks, if this seems a little bit superficial. I can't help but comment on it. This woman, Jessica Green, who is supposed to be a judge in the Louisville Circuit Court, I'm looking at a picture. She's got on this bright red lipstick and these big old green and yellow glasses. And you know what? She looks to me like somebody who's trying to be an entertainer. She doesn't look like a judge to me. But forgive me. That's just the impression. She does not look professional. She does not look like a jurist. She looks like somebody who wants to sing and dance. But leaving that aside for the moment, she might as well be, because letting this guy out, and then what does he do? He goes and kidnaps a family, stabs the mother. The shock probation means he's rehabilitated, so now we can let him out. Yeah, he showed you how rehabilitated he is. And the father of this poor family that's been victimized said, we're going to be dealing with this for the rest of our lives because he traumatized my whole family. He could have killed somebody, but thank God he didn't. But what in the world are we doing? I mean, see, that's why I say people like this Judge Jessica E. Green, should never be on the bench. Because, see, this is what I believe. Now, I don't have proof of this, but I'm going to speculate based upon past experience. And it is an educated speculation. Let's put it that way. Just like I've said, I wouldn't appoint a judge who is a homosexual activist, because to me, that means that their agenda is going to be to pursue their homosexual ideology, whatever that is, their sexual deviancy, to somehow enshrine that into law using their judgeship. Well, this person, in my view, is probably obsessed with so-called racial justice and is much more interested in doing some kind of racial ideology than she is in enforcing the law. This perpetrator is a black man. By the way, the family he accosted happened to be a white family. If it had been the other way around, we'd have been hearing racism, racism, racism all day long. I don't know why he chose that family. I'm not saying he chose the family out of racial animus. I'm just pointing out the difference in the way these things get reported. But she's got this guy out who's supposed to be doing 14 years. He's out in 4 months and goes out and kidnaps a family and stabs a woman. Now, this is insane. I hope that the president is able to demonstrate the results and then just starts moving from city to city and say, if you don't get your act together, this is what's going to happen. And maybe make all these people ran around talking about, we need to defund the police. We need to dismantle the police. The police are a bunch of, they're racist. They're out to hunt down black men, blah, 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 blah. And just shut them up and say, we don't care about the color of the skin of the criminal. If this person's hurting people, we're going to lock them up. And you better get out of the way. Because if you mess around and start obstructing justice or start engaging in a conspiracy to stop us from enforcing the law, we'll lock you up too. We're going to protect the innocent victims of crime. And by the way, folks, The overwhelming majority of victims of crime in these communities happen to be black. But these lefties could care less about that, even though they're, oh, we're committed to racial justice. Oh, yeah, we need racial justice. America's so racist. And you got all these black victims. I've been chronicling over 650 children murdered since the Defund the Police movement began. I just named one today that what the president mentioned. By the way, the president did mention her. The media hasn't really done a lot with that, but the president did mention her, this girl, Honesty Cheadle, 3 years old, killed after suffering three days in the hospital, clinging to life, finally succumbed to her injuries and died. And these lefties running around talking about, oh, the crime is coming down in D.C. Yeah, right. Okay. Frankly, you know, just go put your head in a bucket somewhere and say that to somebody who cares, like the bucket, because the rest of us are not buying it. Crime is running rampant, and it's been running rampant in this country since the defund and dismantle the police movement began, and President Trump is committed to putting a stop to it, and I'm supporting him. 1,000%. And let me add one other thing, and then I got to go. I'm also committed to supporting the Washington, D.C. Police Department. These folks need to know that these leftists are their enemies, and we law-abiding citizens are their friends because we want them to do their job. And by the way, law-abiding citizens want them to do their job. We don't care who it impacts in terms of who the criminal is. Because here's the dirty little secret that they don't want to tell you. 52% of the murders, well, it varies between 50 and 52%. I haven't looked at the data for 2025 because it's probably not available yet. But 50 to 52% of the murders committed in this country are committed by young black men who are 6% of the population. Could that be one of the reasons why so many of them are in prison? Oh, no, it's race, it's mass incarceration. Give me a break. No law-abiding citizen wants to hear that. And certainly no victim of these vicious criminals wants to hear that. Because we don't care. You know, the dead loved one of an individual doesn't care that they were murdered by a black person, a white person, an Asian person. No, they care that the evil was done and that it needs to be vindicated. And that's the way their family thinks too, or ought to think. And if I get killed, if God forbid, but if I were to be murdered, well, am I any less dead because I was murdered by a white person, a black person, a Hispanic person, an Asian person? No, the result is the same. And the criminal who does it to anybody needs to suffer the full weight of the consequences and the full measure of legal justice. So praise God for President Trump taking action to do something about this heinous situation, particularly in Washington, D.C., because I want the day to come when I drive around Washington, D.C. and say, you know, wow, I remember I didn't want to drive around Washington, D.C. because of carjackings, and you just never know. I don't even think about it now. Praise God. They got that fully under control. And I tell you what, with the way they started, you better believe the criminal class in D.C. is already talking and saying, man, we better watch out now. President Trump is on the case, and he has sent the National Guard in here and a whole bunch of other agents in here, and they're cracking down. We better watch it. That's right, you better. That's one of the things law enforcement does. It not only punishes and apprehends, punishes crime and apprehends criminals, it serves as a deterrence. Okay, folks, well, you know what to do. Help stand, help us in our work, because we're going to do some things, by the way, to support the Washington, D.C. police officers who are putting their lives on the line to try to get crime under control. You want to help us, go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us. You can pray for us, you can volunteer for us, and you can contribute to us. then go to American Family Radio or AFR.net. You want to help American Family Radio, who is on the front lines of all of these issues as well. God bless each and every one of you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me and pray for Stan and pray for our country and pray for American Family Association, American Family Radio. And in the meantime, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.